made 2 points that explain our burden. Why are we here? Why are we here? Point number one, put it on the screen again. Sensitizing, preparing, and mobilizing the Church of Christ in Kenya to get actively involved in the current apostolic prophetic travail, which will lead to the birthing of new life in the body of Christ and eventually dislodge evil principalities and powers in the nation. Did you capture number two? Number two goes as follows. Raising apostolic stroke prophetic, you got it. Raising apostolic prophetic platforms from which the word of the Lord will be resounded to the ends of the earth. I hope we got the two. And thank you, Francis, for capturing this. It makes it much, much easier for all of us to write this down if you have not done so. I want to move to the third one. The third point in our apostolic travail is as follows. Releasing the spirit of wisdom and understanding in the church so that all may be able to know the heart and mind of God for the season and for proper apostolic management of resources towards the fulfillment of divine purpose that is based on the will of God, not the desires or needs of men. Got it? I repeat, releasing the spirit of wisdom and understanding in the church so that all may be able to know the heart and mind of God for the season and for proper apostolic management of resources towards the fulfillment of divine purpose that is based on the will of God and not the desire of men. So that's number three, releasing the spirit of wisdom and understanding in the church so that all may be able to know the heart and mind of God for the season and for proper apostolic management of resources towards the fulfillment of divine purpose that is based on the will of God, not the desires or needs of men. Okay? That's our third burden, apostolic travail burden description. Fourth thing is establishing strong apostolic resource centers where ministers will be equipped to transform the church and the society. Of course, the strength of those other resource centers that would establish depends on the strength of this one being the first one. But from the very beginning, it was envisioned that we would have to establish strong apostolic resource centers where ministers will be equipped to transform the church and the society. And it's not only apostles who established centers. Even prophets who came before the apostles used to do so. Someone like Elijah had centers. Like Gilgal, I think there was one in Gilgal. Maybe another one in Bethel. Perhaps another one in Jericho. I think so. And he would do a circuit. He would visit all of them in a circuit. And it's a pattern that we see in the Bible. And a center for us is not a reference to the physical place. To us, a center is a reference to the coming together of people. That's why we can have a center in a hotel. That's why we can have a center that meets at night. Because to us, the center is not the physical place. Okay? The center is more the people. The gathering of the people. Of course, they will meet at a certain physical location. But location is not the special thing about the apostolic, but it's the people. It's the people. In the days of prophets, they would have schools. And the schools that the prophets had are very different from the schools we have today. Because you did not graduate from the schools of the prophet. As in 2-3 years, then you get your certificate and leave. Nothing like that. Once you get to be part of the school of the prophets, you remain until one of you will succeed that prophet when that prophet has to go home or something. So, and that's the pattern. Just like in the apostolic, we don't have schools where you come and study and get certificates and now you have qualified. Not so. If that were the case, then Timothy should have stuck with Paul for a few days, get his certificates, his bachelor's, his honors, his PhD, and then go. But on the contrary, even as Paul writes the last epistle, I think, which is 2 Timothy, he is telling him, you know my doctrine. That means Timothy is still a student of this man, several years later. And we're following the same at Grace Table. We're not having a curriculum, so when you go through this and that unit, then you are done. Not so. Not so. Not so. We don't have a certain curriculum that we go through. Not so. That's not the mind. The prophet did not teach them and graduate them and get a new class. Not so. In fact, they were called sons of the prophets. They were more than students of the prophets. They were sons. And like we do know, between a father and a son, they have a permanent relationship. In likewise manner, the prophet and the sons, or the students, would have a relationship. Would have a relationship. That's the mind we have. That's the mind we have. And we would only mutate to something different because the Lord gives us the instruction and orders that we change, shift certain things. Amen. That's very clear for Bible schools and schools of ministry. If that's what you're looking for, we have enough. In fact, we have a Bible school that runs in our church compound here, right here, at the back there. As we speak now, they're in class. So if what God wanted was a Bible school, we have one. You know, that is already running. And some of us need to do that. You may need some Bible school background and foundation. But then you go to Bible school, then come to Grace Table. I have been doing that. I've been encouraging Bible school guys. After Bible school, after getting all the tools and all the stuff, come to Grace Table and begin to learn the ways of God. And I speak that respectfully because some of us have been through Bible school. But the Bible school never gave us half of the things we receive here. And Mararo is saying yes. He's been through, was it, what do you call the university? The Lemur one. You went to the Lemur one. Which one is that? Yes? St. Paul's. St. Paul's and different other universities that we all have been to. I think Paul there is still pursuing something at the International Leadership University or something. So we're not against Bible school, formal training and all of that. But we're saying there is something more God wants done that takes the shape of an apostolic equipping or resource center. That does not come to replace, comes to add on to whatever else is happening. So that was number three. We come to number four. Number four is establishing strong apostolic resource centers where ministers will be equipped to transform the church and the society. Establishing strong apostolic resource centers where ministers will be equipped to transform the church and the society. You know, transformation does not come from information. It's not informed by information. Transformation is informed by spirit. If Kenya was going to be changed through religious, Christian religious information and knowledge, all these graduates from St. Paul, etc., should have changed things by now. But there are men who have not even been to any Bible school, but they are shifting things because they are more spiritual. They are working from a spiritual angle, not an information angle. You know, transformation is not philosophical. You don't transform through philosophy. You transform by shifting or changing hearts, spirit. And the apostolic is not a philosophical thing. The apostolic is a spirit thing. That's why Jesus told the apostles, promised to them spirit, not a university. He promised them spirit. And he said, when his spirit comes, his spirit will teach you. So the message that brings transformation is a message that carries spirit. Carries spirit. And it still remains that the Holy Ghost is our teacher. He's our teacher. And some of us who have been through Bible school do know how most of these Bible schools remove the Holy Spirit. From all these Bible, most of these Bible schools have nothing Holy Spirit in them. Hosea will remember that we were in the same Bible school, and one certain time we were studying, and we all failed. We got the best was a D minus, the whole class. Because we insisted, most of us were from the Pentecostal tradition, and our teacher was insisting that there's no revelation. We from the Pentecostal were insisting, yes, there is a revelation. The teacher insisted that there's speaking in tongues is for some. We insisted it's for all of us. One of us was even crazy enough to ask the teacher, by the way, Mwalimu, tunasubuana ya nini? Wewe, do you speak in tongues? The teacher said no. The student told the teacher, then you should sit down, we teach you. That's the truth. That's the truth. And because we did not agree with what was being taught, we all failed. The best was a D minus. But a certain Baptist got, I think, a B plus. Because he wrote what the teacher was teaching. And you know, most of our Bible schools in Kenya are not coming from, don't have even the Pentecostal foundation. Even the Pentecostal Bible schools have a Baptist training foundation. They only brought in a unit about the Holy Spirit. But the material of a Baptist foundation, because the Baptists inform Bible schools in the world. In fact, the Pentecostal movement was born in a Baptist Bible school, so to say. The material they were studying had a Baptist foundation, had a Protestant theology, so to say. So they only added the unit about this new phenomenon, about speaking in tongues, etc., but never changed the spirit of the document. And that's why very many of our Bible schools cannot cause transformation. I don't miss Bible school one day after I have tasted these schools of ministry like ASOM, and I hear things that I wonder, why are they always in the Bible? If I had some money to spare now, you know what I would do? I would attend any apostolic school anywhere in the world. I wouldn't go back to Bible school. I'm only waiting for an honorary doctorate. That was a good place for you to laugh. But like I said, I have been through it, and it has got value. It will teach you. You will learn certain things. After that, you come and learn Christ. You begin to interact with grace and spirit, not the letter that kills. And students fail and get D minus. Of course, the sad thing about that confrontation is the student who confronted the teacher, I think he broke a spiritual principle, died within months. I think he broke a spiritual principle. He ashamed a father in public. So he died within months. And his ministry is finished, I think. I don't think there are traces of his ministry now. But the point is, I think most of us need to value this more than we are doing. And I'm not saying that so that we can look smart or better. But I'm saying that because if we don't value what God has given us, then it may end up having no value. It's the value we place on a thing that gives it value, that causes it to appreciate in value. We still have the hope of some other pastor, some other bishop coming to Grace Table. But they will only come the day you feel proud enough and invite them and maybe pay their fares and they will come. They will come and they will not believe because you told them, they will come and believe because they also will hear for themselves and they begin to have a shift in their own hearts. That's the mind I have personally. That's the attitude that I have. And I don't know of any one movement that did not outgrow the pioneer. In fact, in a movement, the numbers don't come in through the pioneer. The numbers come through those that have been touched. Jesus met only one woman. But through that one woman, the whole village came. So Jesus did not go to the village came to him because he just met one woman. And I think there lies a principle and a secret and a key on how we can fulfill our mandate faster and quicker in our nation, beginning in our city. I strongly believe, and I should say this, I believe that our being in Grace Table is a calling of God, unless you think otherwise. For me, this is now a calling. It's not a coming together to be preached to. For me, it's a calling. It's a mandate. It is something that will require resources now. It is something that will require more than a casual handling and a casual mindset. It's a calling. It's a calling. It's a calling. It's something God wants. He wants to establish in the earth. It's a calling. It's something. It's bigger than us. It's going to be bigger than this. It's big. You know, I know the testimony of Dr. Sergey Govinda in Durban. His weekly meeting is bigger than his local church. Without mentioning figures, really, it's not important. And he has two, not once. They meet on Tuesdays and on, I think, Wednesdays and on Thursdays. His Grace Table equivalent is bigger than his local church. So I used to really wonder, how can a man bring the pastors, a bigger group of the pastors in the city than his local church? And then as I studied him, I discovered it's because he in fact emphasizes this church in the city more than he emphasizes his local church. He believes actually there's only one church in any city, and that church is led by different fathers, senior pastors of different churches. So when his heart shifted to that, he is called for the city church, not his church, numbers were inverted. I'm not there yet, but I think I'm heading there too. If we can have those hundreds in Fountain Gate, then we can have thousands in Grace Table. And the Lord is doing that in my heart. I don't know about you, but the burden is spreading now. We're having to relax a little bit. We are taking tea with more people than we used to now. We are giving time to more people now. There's a time when everything we did was with the apostles and apostolic people and apostolic streams. But we're beginning to go into some of the other circles now. The Lord has opened that door because we must raise these platforms and build these resource centers. And in some of the cases, we don't have to build it. We'll find an existing one and convert it. Or you want me to use the word save it and save it. You remember the principle of inferencing by putting in yeast? Just put in yeast to the three measures and change it, respectively, with due order and respect. But if the Lord so wishes, we will come to some of the sections of the body of Christ and bring a change. Amen. Because there's a move of God, my friends. It's a move of God. The last time I mentioned the word movement was at the end of 2014, where I began to feel that we are gravitating towards a movement. And that statement I released caused enough trouble for me to shut my mouth. Most of 2015, I shut my mouth, and 2016. Those were the most troublesome years for me this far, as far as Grace Table is concerned. 2015 and 16, I went through a lot. And much of it was very personal. I did not even Hosea may not have details. And I now know what triggered all that. I mentioned the fact that Grace Table is birthing a movement. And trouble hit. And I thank God we went through the trouble. We learned a few things. We were refined. We knew what not to do. We learned certain things. But the day has come. That day, God hasn't changed the season. Except we may take time to get ourselves ready and put on our shoes, God hasn't changed his mind. God's mind is that this is now evolving into a movement. That's how come, though we did not go to Gashie, but people are coming from Gashie. Though we did not go to Naivasha yet, but Naivasha comes. I do not know up to now how Mrs. Bishop Jogona came to be part of us, but while as we did not go, while as we did not even have their telephone numbers, they came. That's how Mike over here, whose spiritual father is in London, and that would put you off. How do you invite another apostle son to your table? It would put you off, but somehow here he is. Yeah, he is. So if Mike can come, why can't we go to Kasarani where he comes from? If the rest of us can come, why can't we go to Gashie? Why can't we go? The other day I found myself preaching in Banana for Bishop Margaret Wangari, a very respected prophet, minister, bishop, servant of God. And I found that that's another constituency. That's another world. It's another world that we need to venture into. And only God could have opened that door for me to speak for her. Only God could. And when I got there, I understood why God sent me. And by the way, we invited her. So we expect that anytime she will also join us here. Only God could do that for a very divine purpose. And I think God took the time before so we can get refined. Because if we went say, to Banana and we have a confusing sound and become disrespectful, even though we are not heavy on titles, but we're not going to raise issues about she's bishop, not at all, because what we are handling is beyond that now. We have left that foolishness. Perhaps when we handle the matter as well, so we can be redefine ourselves. But it's not so that we can raise issues with anybody anymore. Who cares, even if you're archbishop? Because we have something more important we are doing. God told us to do something. Raise an apostolic resource center and call the body. The body includes the archbishop. Amen. Etc., etc. So my point is, there are different platforms. There are different doors. There are different windows. There are different friends and relationships that God wants to give us so that we can come and add value in a small, big way. But we also must know that some of these that God sends us to, God will also send them to us. It cannot be that we are only open to go and give. We must also be open to also receive. Because if we don't, then we can very easily develop a pride. A pride. And pride always leads to a dissension. Pride always leads to a division. And pride is not the nature of God. Pride is not the nature of God. So here we are. Here we are. Let's go to number five. Number five reads as follows, to inculcating the character of a hearing ear and a readiness to do the will of God within the body of Christ, which will lead to enhancement of covenant relationships and strengthening of unity in the body of Christ. Inculcating the character of a hearing ear and a readiness to do the will of God within the body of Christ, which will lead to enhancement of covenant relationships and strengthening of unity. We have since redefined that word from unity to oneness, okay? We now know this. there is something better than unity. It's called oneness. While as the translators of Psalm chapter 133 use the word where brethren dwell together in unity, and the translators of Ephesians 4 and also 5 use the word the unity of the Spirit, we now do know that the root word was not unity. The root word is oneness. And oneness is superior to unity. We have explained that. So that if you like, you can now change that word from unity to oneness. At least we can begin at unity as we work towards oneness. That's number five. Then number six, encouraging mature sonship that will manifest in godly character. And we never did. Oh, sorry, sir. Are you still writing? Okay, go ahead. Inculcating the character of a hearing ear and a readiness to do the will of God within the body of Christ, which will lead to enhancement of covenant relationships, strengthening of unity in the body of Christ. Okay, as you write, I'll explain that. We have come to a day where it's like the days in Israel where there was no king and anyone did whatever was right in their own eyes. You remember that verse? The last chapter of the book of Judges. In Israel, there was no king, and anyone just did whatever was right in their eyes. So this point is addressing that matter. Are there certain principles, certain standards, certain boundaries, certain thresholds that needs to be re-emphasized in the church, beginning in our own circles where we have influence and going into the rest of the body of Christ? Are there certain models that God wants highlighted? Is it fair that anyone does what they like, what is good to them? Is that maybe not a misrepresentation of what the church is? So can we therefore take the mandate and begin to build this character of hearing so that people do what they hear and not do what they see, in quotes, as in what is being done elsewhere and they just copy and paste? Because we walk by not by sight as in what we are seeing, we walk by faith as in what we are hearing. Except we do know that by what we hear, we see. John had a voice speaking to him and turned to see the voice. So we do understand that what we hear produces sight. And if then the sight that is produced by what we hear is spiritual, is revelation. So though we walk by faith, not by sight, the truth is we walk by sight, except it's not physical. It is spiritual sight that is produced by what we hear. So can we take our mandate seriously that God wants us to share this word that will produce a certain ability for people to hear, and therefore what they hear will translate into sight that we call vision? Most of what we call vision statements today are statements of ambition, not nothing God showed. Because what God shows comes by what God says. When he says it, it should produce sight so that people can walk by sight, but not physical sight, so to say, but spiritual sight. To God, what you hear is more important than what you see, because it is what you hear that determines what you will see. And what you see, maybe I should make the sentence complete. What you hear determines what you see, and what you see determines what you do. People are busy doing what they saw, but what people saw came by what people heard. So it takes us back to the need for doctrine, because doctrine will inform what we hear, and what we hear will inform what we see, and what we see will determine what we do, and what we do is what God is what others will see through our eyes, is what will cause others to see through our eyes. I hope it's not a tongue twister. Okay, I'll use an example. All right, this podium here, this podium, this one here. I felt we had used the other one for 5 years and I thought we should have a new one. So it was easy for me to do a podium like I've seen so many. I've seen so many. But I determined not to. So that means I have to sit down and think, so to say. And I'm not saying that this is a revelation. I'm trying to illustrate. So I sat down and said, if I was to do a podium, what should it depict? I said, it should depict grace. I was working with Francis. We were on a boat here with him. You remember that day? So we said, we should do a podium that depicts grace. Okay. So we said, what is the symbol of grace? What is the symbolic thing people use for grace? It's diamond. Okay, fine, we said, okay, fine. What kind of grace do we want to do? Most of them would draw that. We said, we want to show the fivefold. Fivefold means what? We resketch this. We said, we would have to have five sights visible from the front. That means it would have to either be a five-sided, there's no such, or a 10-sided, in terms of cross-section, diamond. So we made it complete. But we said, you need to have a flat end on the other side. So we said, you slice it there. Then we said, you cannot have a podium that is standing on a point. It would fall down. He said, we must slice it, but first of all, do your diamond. So he brought it down all the way, up to the tip. Then we said, we'll slice it here. Give it a base. So I'm using this to illustrate. That's how we ended up with this. Thank God this guy is an engineer, I am. So we know about ratios and Pythagoras, pi d. This guy is a mechanical engineer, Kenyatta University. So we drew it to the angle. The trouble was for the builder to build it. We called our usual man, Kevoy, here. Said, Pastor, why can't you make it three-sided? Because that's what most pastors do. It's easy. The three-sided is easy. I would even do it for free. Just buy the materials. Told him, no, I want a five-sided. That when I look at it from the front, I'll see the five sides. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Because we wanted to represent the fivefold. Kevoy said openly, Philip is my witness. Kama ni hivyo, tafuta mtu mwingine. He left. Then Philip brought, I don't know who else, who said, ninaona hivyo unasema pastor, but you know, well, that is mathematical. But practically, iwezi kujengeka. He said, tafuta mwingine. We look for Kingara. I had to go to Kiambu town. Thank God that this man is a man of God. His pastor is sitting here. I just learned that this week. I didn't know that Pastor Isaac is actually the pastor of the guy who built this. I hope you have one like this in your church. You don't even know. I also did not know, but I knew there's a good fundi who can listen to the Holy Ghost. So I sat Kingara down. I told him, Iki tu utajenga in the name of Jesus. He said it cannot be built. I told him, let your chuma. My hands cut the metal pieces to size. Because God gave me the ability. I can see it. He said, oh, kijenga itanga hoka. What konga hoka are you talking about? I told him, bring the metal. And you know, we are down to the size. 103.6 cut work up. I did the base first. I did this one that kusimama. Shoma. Weka spot, ikasimama. Wekerea ya juu. Kambia yungine marizia. And he said, Pastor, I should not even charge you because you are the one who has built it. And that reminded me, we are having struggles in our churches with people who think they are better foolish than us. My friend, the wisdom we have, we can do better than all these guys in industry. It's only the Lord called us into this. But anyway, I was trying to make a point. I was seeing it, but the foolish could not see it. Kingara, we had to sit down there with him. I cut the pieces of whatever, chuma myself, the framework. He said, Nakweli. So now he told me there's another bishop who saw it. Anataka kutengenezewa kama gani? Nikamwambia copyright ni yangu. The next thing now was to do the metal. Sasa kukunja hii ini bati moja, this one piece of metal. Kuikunja was work. Kengara. We had to use karatasi to trace. Tukawekelea karatasi. Anachora laini. Arafu wanaweka kwa chuma na. Ambia, wewe, are you sure you are a preacher or you are an engineer? I told him I'm both. I'm like Moses. It's Moses who built. It's not Bezalel. It is Christ who built. It's not Paul, the church. My point is, what we hear informs what we see. What we see informs what we do. Through what we do, I have just explained. Now you have seen what I had seen through what I had. That we need a new podium that depicts something different from the other one. And the reason, by the way, I removed the other one, I found every church is doing a podium like the one we had here. And I like to be unique. Why lie? Sasa hii itajenga. Lakini hii kujenga si rahisi. Utatafuta kengana hata. Utatutafuta tukupati ina measurements. And then, of course, many other things that happen. Then the painting, the color gold. We try to get gold depicting the color of divinity. And there we are. I have never seen another podium like this. I've never seen. I saw this thing in my mind or my spirit, whichever. But I expect there will be many more like this after this. Once it is copied, people who like to use the machine, they produce many, I'll come up with another one. Because God is not one-sided like a djembe. It's amen, amen. Okay, let me finish this thing. I think I detracted, of course. I was trying to illustrate a point. Our greatest strength, my brothers and sisters, will be in that we can put on display what we are challenging the church of Jesus to become. If we can demonstrate it is doable, people have no problem following a pattern that is working. And just like I said, if I can build this, somebody will build it. And there's no problem. Come and take the measurements and build one. Or buy this one at 170,000. Most of the money going to the design, not the mambati. We go to number six as I finish now. Number six point. This is our apostolic burden is encouraging mature sonship that will manifest in godly character and posture, providing a platform for effective apostolic prophetic ministry that will lead to the actualization of our inheritance in God. Remember the fourth M, don't go machine way, go mature way. Raise sons. So that what we sow can have another generation. And it will live forever. It will be immortalized. That's how God immortalizes truth. When sons are raised, when any movement produces sons, in those sons, the move of God is immortalized. It will never die. That's why mantles never go to heaven. Because everyone that had a mantle had a son. Everyone that had a mantle had a son. Or an admirer or a follower. Or somebody who came into contact with them. Including that mantle of Elisha. Still, somebody picked it up. Howbeit it was a dead man. Mantles. So that if whatever left heaven does not have to go to heaven again. It remains in the earth. Remains in the earth. So I'm so proud to see people planting churches out of Grace Table. I'm so blessed to see people that came here, no church, some disillusioned, some beaten, and they planted churches. Some of them are shaking their cities now. I'm so proud to see that. I'm happy to see that. I'm happy to see that churches that are existing before we began have been tweaked, have been reformed after coming to Grace Table. I'm so happy to report that some of us now have opened their platforms to become an extension of Grace Table. Some of us just keep inviting us to come and service your conferences, etc., for which we thank God. We only have one request, that you will don't just allow us time to come and preach, but allow us that we bring this message. And don't think your people will, they are not an egg, they will not crash because we brought this revelation. Even though we'll be gentle, but don't tell us to come and bring a motivation. It will be a disservice. Why should we come to do that? Allow us, beginning from where you are, to begin to build them line upon line. In the hope that someday, you are charged to appreciate that God is saying something new and that God is changing everything. Allow the sound that changed everything to begin to change your ministry, change your family, change your church, change what you're doing. Number 7, raising apostolic prophetic servant communities. Call them households of faith. We also like to call them local churches. That will model the kingdom of God in every sphere of the society. The apostolic does not progress without local churches. In fact, the more churches we can have, the faster we can move. That's why part of this movement, I can tell you, God will add on to our company churches. Whichever way. Whether they come looking for cover, and I'm not keen about that. Whether they are coming looking for a father, whether they are looking for a whatever will motivate them, doesn't bother me. What I have prayed for is for churches. And God knows I have asking for churches. I'm asking for churches that can get into relationship with me. Because I found it very hard to bring this message on platforms of people that don't trust you or don't have a relationship with you. So I have prayed openly, oh God, give me 1,000 churches that I have prayed. And I know how he's going to do it. It's not I'm going to plant 1,000 churches. I don't have the time. He'll give me existing churches, pastors, denominations that will want to come into this, which is not my thing. It's not my ministry. I'm only a custodian who I think is overzealous and overjealous and over careful. But it's the Lord's doing. It's the Lord's doing. When we were in Malava, I was closing the conference. And I'm preaching, finishing the meeting. And those guys really, they really gave me too many sessions. And I'm praying and I heard the Lord say, Kimilili. I had to turn and ask the interpreter, where is Kimilili from here? My interpreter said, I've never been there. I said, the Lord is saying there's something that's going to happen there. Is there anyone here from Kimilili? There was no one. Early this morning, I was doing a Google search about Kimilili. And I discovered it's a constituency, blah, 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 with about 140 or so thousand people, blah, blah, blah. Now, I don't know what's going to happen, but I can assure you, something's going to happen in that place. And we cannot go without churches. In the earlier days of the apostolic, we really discounted, we really did not, we discredited churches. We did not believe in church. We had gone the way of a mega church. Until I met a wise woman of God. I'll mention her name because I'm mentioning her name in the positive. Pastor Esther Obaske. We asked her to come and preach in our Women of Grace one day. Those days we were in 680. I mean, those were the days of trouble. We had enough trouble until we ourselves were troublesome. Hey, it's been a journey, my friends. She thought of encouraging us because of being small and told us, actually, you are better off than, and mentioned a certain mega church. She said, because to he that much is given, much is required. Then she said, in their ministry, Redeem RCCG, their policy is not have few mega churches, but it is have many small churches. And she said, if they wanted to do like Winners Chapel, they would be having a bigger congregation than Winners Chapel at the time. Because Winners does one big church in a given city. That's their pattern. But these RCCG guys do many small churches. And then I ask her. Of course, I was feeling very encouraged. Oh, Kube, we are okay. Then I ask her, what's the wisdom behind it? She says, for that one mega church, they still have one choir, one pastor, one keyboard, one keyboardist, one pastor's office. They have limited themselves. But for us, if you give us the 1,000 members, but in congregations of 50-50, that means we have 20 of them, 20 by 50 is 1,000. She says, we will have 20 pastors, 20 worship teams, 20 choirs, 20 pastors' offices, 20 pastors' cars, 20 offerings, 20 keyboards. And she said, that is what makes RCCG great. Even though, in terms of gathering congregations, the Winners Chapel has big congregations. But in terms of impacting the earth, the RCCG has done so. So we went that way. We stop complaining about being a small church. And we are multiplying this small church now. We have many small churches. Some of them with 2.5 members. 2.5. The half is unborn. And I found the kingdom of God that advances through influence advances through the principle of representation, not monopolization. Is that monopolization? Is that? Yeah. The fact that we can have a small church in the village in a place called Kausweni with 2.5 members, when the pastors in Mwenge are meeting, that pastor of 2.5 members is there, he will tell them about us. But it's very hard for that man from Kausweni to be a member of the mega church that meets in Nairobi. Think about it. Think about it. And I'm trying to say, we need to have many churches, please. I wish each of us can go and plant a church after now and bring fast fruit on Tuesday. I really encourage church planting, personally. The one church that invited us in Malava, just one church, because of that platform of that one church. And I don't even think the place we were meeting was as big as this hall. The place where that church meets is not as big as this hall. But through that one platform of a conference not very big in terms of numbers, but we met with the Who Matters in Western Kenya, who had come to speak also. We met Bishop Wawire, we met the other bishops, who said, the door is open, give us the date. So the influence is not coming because of how they have monopolized the area, but it is coming because of how they are a representation, who heard us preach and said, bring this word into Western Kenya. And I really want to encourage us to plant churches. Let's plant churches. If you want to hear more about church planting, if I'm allowed to do that, I can do that somewhere. For our family of churches, I'm running a school this Saturday. 3 schools in one, between 8:30 and 4. It's not this. Is this Friday? What is happening? Oh, no, it's the other one, 26th. Yeah, 26th. I'm running 3 schools. I'll do the 101 because we cannot finish on any of the subjects. But I think we can invite the Grace Table guys. If someone wants to come, yeah. I'll do school of church planting, the 101, just the basics. I'll advance this later on in the year because I personally feel some of us need to plant a church before even you know the name of the church. Just plant it. Call it church. Just call it church. Just call it church. Or call it the church that meets in my house. The way they used to do those days. Or the church in Githurai. Just location. Keyboard church. Or Kimbo church. Kimbo church, Kiambu church. Bishop Philip, you need to plan a few more churches. If the 2 or 3 could open such a door for us in Momboni, plant a few more in former vice president's area. I'm forgetting the name of that. Sekulu. Plant some in Sekulu. Yeah, let's do that. And I found when you plant churches in some of the other cities, it's so cheap. The budget of our church here for electricity can sustain a pastor and the church in some of the places. Praise God for that. Sorry. I'm not trying to say anything, but we can plant churches. Let's go plant churches. Our sons are going to be commanded. When we do that seminar, I'm going to command these guys. Let's plant churches. And you know we are not doing so to build a denomination. We're doing so to raise platforms. How do we ever go to certain areas? Through representation. Next week on Monday, is it next week or the other one? The other one, 22nd. We'll be speaking in the Kiambu County Pastor something. How do they get to know us? Because one of our sons, Pastor Kemaro, has a church in Kiambu, they call it Uhai Center. because it doesn't concern us. We are not propagating Fountain Gateism. So some of our churches use different names. It doesn't bother us. Although some people fear for us, they think it is risky. Unakubalia mtu atumie jina ingine. Utachinjwa usiku. Nichinjwa nikiwa wapi? Ni Abraham alichinjwa ama ni Isaka? Anyway, that's for another day. See, it's for another day. But I want to command these guys to plant churches. I found areas where we have no representation have become like blind spots also. So we will be speaking to those hundreds of pastors because we have a representation in the area. That's the way to go. We haven't touched Githunguri yet because no church pastor comes here. So we either plant a church or the other way, whichever way God does it. But I have prayed to God for 1,000 churches in Kenya. Is it possible? It's possible. It's possible. It's possible. They don't have to be big. I told you earlier, they need to be genuine. Not big, genuine. It's a seed that has life. That was number 6. We got to number 7. Oh, we are number 7 now, raising apostolic, prophetic servant communities. They are called households of faith. They are called local churches that will model the kingdom of God in every sphere of the society. And number 8, emphasizing the priesthood of all believers, teaching, encouraging the saints to function in their priestly, kingly, ministry function in the order of Melchizedek, which is our order. If you're looking for an order, or if you're looking for a pattern or a model, if you're looking for protocol to do ministry, study Melchizedek. Study. Study Melchizedek. That's our model. And while as Melchizedek sounds metaphoric, the reality is Christ. Let's study Christ. Let's study Christ. And as we study Christ, and we want to produce apostolic patterns and models, let's not dishonor the model he gave us in the pattern and the model of the early church. I have had present-day apostles discrediting the early church, going to the extent of saying that they are not our model. I've had somebody saying we are not trying to go back to the early church. I've heard that. And there are statements apostles make, I fear for them. Just like there are some I make and others fear for me. And we don't judge people. But I personally think he who said I'll build my church showed how he builds it in the record of canonical scripture. And the Bible says these things were written for our learning. So there are certain patterns to derive from the church in Ephesus. There are certain patterns to derive from, listen, even the story, like, for example, of the parting company of Paul and Barnabas. Because to date, ministers still part company. So how do we part? We're not going to study NASA or Jubilee. We study what is in Scripture. There are several testimonies. The one of Paul and Barnabas. Abraham and Lot also parted ways one certain day. Jacob and his brother Esau also parted ways. Jacob himself parted ways with his uncle Laban, who was his father-in-law. So those are the patterns we go back for. And therefore, in studying Melchizedek, who is our model, we really look at the handiwork of Christ in the early church, which I still believe personally, that the church present in the earth today falls short of the church we read historically in the Bible. That's what I believe. And I will prove that if I have time. For example, the early church came to a place where none of them lacked. Today, in all our churches, many of our people lack. If I can just use that one as a yardstick, I'll go to another one. The supernatural power of God that was at work among them. Today's church, no one has really touched some of the levels, including the shadows of some of them in the old would heal people, etc., etc. And violence, yes, we can go beyond, but we'll not go beyond if we discredit and dishonor the testimony of Christ, for which some of them, like John, were in serious trouble as they defended and as they wrote it, as they documented what he, the head of the church, said to them and showed them. So with that, therefore, I would tell you, if we would lack, therefore, any other word to describe this season we call the apostolic, we would use the phrase returning back to the foundation called Christ. And to that foundation, there's a testimony that we read of in the Bible. And the testimony is both in the writings of the apostles, in the epistles, and they were all written post Jesus, after he had died. No one wrote an epistle when he was still alive. And the gospels were also written after he had lived, had died, had left the earth, except the gospels describe or explain his ministry. So the two things: his ministry while he was in the earth, and his ministry while he was in the earth through the Holy Spirit. That record we have to study. We have to study. And when we study, let's not dishonor any of the apostles. I have heard the talk that we don't read Paul, we read Peter, because Paul was not with Jesus. I have heard the argument that Paul did not see Jesus in the physical body, so me, I don't study Paul. All those different, and all this garbage comes from Bible schools. It's the Bible schools that told us there's a minor prophet. Did I hear you say minor prophets? Haggai is a minor prophet. The whole of 2016, we were studying Haggai in Grace Table, talking about building. But Bible school told us there are some minor prophets. But some of the most powerful principles are in the minor prophet. It's the poison from the Bible schools that told us there's a minor prophet. And there are major prophets. So also there are major apostles and minor. Bible school never even told us Timothy was an apostle. Told us Timothy was a pastor. Well, the letters written to him were pastoral letters, but check his ministry. Timothy is not a pastor, he's an apostle. That's why he can be sent to a region and do what apostles do. Apostles come to a region, put systems and structures in order, and raise fathers and commissioner and bless them. The other word for apostle is commissioner. That's what he's doing. But the Bible school, no Bible school told us Timothy was an apostle. They told us he was a pastor. Some told us he's an evangelist because he was told to do the work of an evangelist, etc., etc. Long story short, we are concluding it here and saying, God wants to restore and also restitute. He wants to refresh the earth by sending us now not just former rain. We are not just hungry for former rain. He wants to send both former rain and also latter rain. All the two rains in one day. So anything he did in the past becomes part of our heritage, and anything he looks forward to doing in the future becomes our challenge, and we get employed by that. I believe we'll see a proliferation of churches. I believe with all my heart we'll see many churches get connected to this grace table and be serviced by this table and receive the river that flows here. The river that was one head that becomes four heads. I believe that this is going to flow and touch and reach many people. I believe we need to be more strategic, therefore, in how we do what we do. I believe we need to be more courteous in engaging the body of Christ. I believe that there is some image out there that people have about the apostolic, which we must change. Because most people think apostles and apostolic people are arrogant and etc. We have to go and change that. We have to come, listen, we have to come like sheep, like lamb. But when we stand up, we speak like a lion. We have to have the two natures of Christ. The one is the priest within us, the other one is the king within us, all for the honor and glory of his name. Would you please stand up with me and raise your hands with me, and we pray and finish the service today.